The 1969 Ambassador College Correspondence Course, lesson number 33 on the Passover, says, "The whole story of God's plan is to be reenacted year after year by God's people. The yearly observance of these days impresses God's plan on us and continually reminds us of our part in it." The lesson then later asks the question, "Can you comprehend that your very Creator, the one who gives you every breath of air you breathe, died for you? What are you going to do about it?" Well, the early Christians asked a similar question in Acts 2. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" It was apparent from Peter's sermon that they just heard that the wrath of God was imminent. Peter's response to their question was that they repent and be baptized. This response then begins the conversion process as we ourselves yield to God and grow in understanding. And every year then, prior to Passover, we consider the cost of our salvation. So in comprehending the life, love, and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, what are we going to do about it? This is the question I would like to focus on as I ask each of you to consider what it means to give a soft answer. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Again, what are we going to do about it? There are perhaps many principles that apply to giving a soft answer. I'm going to focus on three areas of discipline that create good boundaries for giving a soft answer: respecting authority, controlling our tongue, and becoming thankful. By applying these disciplines to our conduct, we develop in the nature that turns away wrath and produces peace. Now, in this day and age, respecting authority sometimes seems as antiquated as using a horse and buggy to commute to work. However, no matter the circumstance or institution, proper respect for authority is never inappropriate. I saw this demonstrated recently in a replayed episode of Deadliest Catch. In this TV series, Alaskan fishermen brave the rough and stormy Bering Sea in freezing temperatures with the intent of working their steel 800-pound crab pots. Conditions are treacherous, and every word of the skipper is vital to the success and safety of the venture. Not only is the skipper in charge, he is responsible for the lives of every man aboard. One man challenged the instruction of the skipper, and that was it. He was put ashore without a job, no questions asked. The comment was made afterward that, in questioning the skipper, he broke one of the oldest maritime laws there is. The captain's word is law. In such obvious life and death circumstances, we can appreciate zero tolerance for insubordination. However, in less obvious settings, it's far easier to take respect for authority for granted. Now, the Word of God is full of instruction regarding the proper respect of authority. For example, Solomon admonishes us that we're not to leave our posts, even if the spirit of a ruler rises against us, and that we are not to curse those with authority or power, even in thought. Even Jesus Christ commanded submission to the Pharisees who sat in Moses' seat, drawing the line at following their works of the flesh. In a broader sense, there is authority given to each one of us that must also be appreciated or respected. Each one of us has a position and a job to do, whether it be as children, parents, spouses, or as members of one another. For example, in my home, I have the position of husband and father. My wife has the position of wife and mother. Each position is an ordination from God. If we disrespect each other's positions, defenses go up and there is disunity. But if we respect each other's unique position, then we are unified at peace and complement each other's differences. No one is going to approach their position the same way as another would or might expect. No two positions are exactly the same. In our daily settings, it may not seem such a matter of life and death, but respecting authority, even in the little things, is just as important as those fishermen submitting to every direction of their skipper, and even more so. By nature, we are inclined to despise authority, and despising authority wreaks havoc on any relationship. Proverbs 28, verse 14 says, "Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity." Respecting authority goes hand in hand with reverence. A truly reverent person will be respectful of another's position out of his love for God. He will recognize that his behavior toward others and his behavior toward Jesus Christ go hand in hand. This recognition motivates self-discipline and a soft answer. How we answer one another has close bearing with our respect for authority. Controlling our tongue is so vitally important that we are warned of impending judgment for hasty words. Where a soft answer is concerned, speech plays a major part in turning away wrath. Please turn with me now to 1 Peter 2, and we'll look at a summary of the example that Jesus Christ set for us to follow. 1 Peter 2, please. First Peter 2, and I'll begin reading in verse 21. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." So by controlling his tongue and his reactions, Jesus Christ sets the example for giving a soft answer. A key principle to keep in mind is to never say what should never be said. This cannot be emphasized enough. Never say what should never be said. Speaking out in the heat of emotion can do so much damage. Harsh words which stir up anger are like bullets fired at a person. They will leave scarring wounds and they will destroy relationships. The book of James admonishes us that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God, and that the tongue is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So instead of exploiting the destructive capabilities of the tongue, we can instead apply Paul's admonition to speak those things that edify, imparting grace to the hearers. It takes practice and discipline to speak in an edifying tone. Sorry, I couldn't read my notes there. Edifying manner. The way to speak those things that edify is to be thankful and to look for things to appreciate. No one likes to be taken for granted, and showing appreciation is a powerful motivator. How many irritations in our lives might be minimized simply by focusing on things to appreciate and becoming thankful? In our relationships, so much conflict can be avoided just by taking the time to appreciate one another. Giving a soft answer comes more easily the more we focus on positive things to appreciate and becoming thankful. Whatever we seek, we tend to find. Why not seek those things to appreciate? So in considering appreciation and a soft answer, let's focus again on the soft answer that Jesus Christ gave on our behalf. On the night that Jesus was taken, he clearly portrayed the example of serving another. Previously, he had instructed his disciples that if any of them were to become great, they were to become servants. Now he backs up his instruction by laying aside his own garments and washing the feet of his disciples. Not long afterward, he was taken and beaten and put to death for our sins, demonstrating the tremendous love God has for all mankind. In offering himself, Jesus Christ paid the price to deliver all who would believe from the wrath of God upon all unrighteousness. Please begin turning with me to Romans 5. In Romans 1 and 2, we find instruction on how the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness, and that those who judge another while being guilty themselves treasure up for themselves wrath in the day of wrath and judgment of God. In Romans 3, Paul describes the righteousness of God's judgment, stating how all have sinned and come short of his glory. In chapter 4, Paul discusses justification, which is righteousness imputed apart from works. noting that the law brings about wrath. Then, in Romans 5, we see how Jesus Christ, demonstrating the love of God, died on our behalf. With his shed blood, we have been justified and shall be saved from wrath through him. Let's pick it up in verses 6 through 10, chapter 5. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely will a righteous man, will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Quoting again from lesson number 33, just think of the tremendous price that was paid on you, that was paid that you might have your guilty past blotted out and the slate wiped clean. God himself in the person of Jesus Christ paid the penalty. Can you grasp it? Jesus Christ, in laying down his life, became a soft answer that turns away the wrath of God when we come under the new covenant. This act then gives us the opportunity for eternal life, which is knowing God. Ephesians 2 notes that we were by nature children of wrath, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind, dead in trespasses and sins. But we were made alive in Christ, saved by grace through faith. It is this grace that is given to us as a result of his soft answer made on our behalf. There is so much to appreciate here. Our Creator died so that the wrath of God might be turned away from us. We then have the opportunity in laying down our lives to also turn away wrath by giving a soft answer. In fact, a soft answer then becomes our way of life as we love one another as Jesus Christ loved us. A thankful person will be more inclined to give a soft answer. In truly appreciating the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his life, we cannot help but conduct ourselves with the same serving attitude that washes one another's feet. This attitude of thankfulness is not restricted to one night a year, but becomes a way of life, living a soft answer. Let's read an exhortation of Paul now in 1 Thessalonians 5. And I'll begin reading in verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Let's skip down now to verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Does a soft answer always work? I believe it will, but it requires faith in God that he will turn away the wrath in whatever form it appears in his own time. A soft answer is not a weak or passive response to placate somebody's outbursts. Giving a soft answer requires strength, maturity, love, and self-discipline. It is a way of life that requires having our focus on the example of Jesus Christ as we serve one another, respecting authority, controlling our tongue, and becoming thankful are all boundaries for giving a soft answer that turns away wrath. By applying these disciplines to our conduct, we develop in the godly nature that turns away wrath and produces peace. Observing Passover year after year reminds us of the covenant we have made with God, the cost of that covenant, and the responsibility to follow in the footsteps of His Son, Jesus Christ. We comprehend that our Creator died for us and was raised up that we might also live. His actions are the soft answer that turns us away from the wrath of God. The question then is, what are we going to do about it?